Are you suggesting that maybe endocrine therapy, whether prostate or breast cancer, anti-HER2 therapy like trastuzumab might be mediated through angiogenesis or anti-angiogenesis?
Yes, to some extent, we have papers on that. For example, when you remove testosterone from a testosterone-dependent tumor, it's amazing. Cancer cells begin to reduce the production of a number of angiogenic molecules, especially VEGF. And the reason for that is that the VEGF promoter has a hormone recognition element. So you remove hormone, and the VEGF promoter is going to ask, will simply begin to turn off, and there will be a reduction in production of VEGF. We published that in 98 in a PNAS paper. And then when you do with Herceptin, if you take HER2 overexpressing cancer cells and put them in cell culture, say, for example, and now you put Herceptin on them, you find out the levels of VEGF go down. So we already write our paper at that point. We gave Herceptin to animals, HER2 overexpressing tumor-bearing mice, gave Herceptin, blood vessels begin to look normal, and then we say, aha, this must be perhaps because VEGF is going down. So we did this work in cell culture, and indeed VEGF was going down. Now came the real surprise. When we measured the level of VEGF in tumors, not just cell culture, but tumors in vivo taken from mice, then the VEGF levels did not go down. And then we figured out why. Because the host cells begin to make compensatory VEGF. So while cancer cells begin to lower their VEGF production, the stromal cells in the tumor begin to make compensatory VEGF. So the overall level of VEGF did not go down. So that's why in our paper in Nature in 2002, I wrote that perhaps the best combination for Herceptin would be the Avastin, because bevacizumab would lower VEGF and Herceptin will do something else. So the next question was, why are blood vessels getting normalized if VEGF is not going down? So we did gene array analysis, and what we found out was the thrombosponin levels were going up. And thrombosponin is a very potent anti-angiogenic molecule.
And, of course, the strategy of bevacizumab and trastuzumab is actually being studied right now in a large adjuvant trial. Again, not to get too far off, but it's just so interesting. Any ideas, what you're talking about in terms of trastuzumab, does that in any way connect up with some of the stuff that's come out in the last year from Soon Paik et al. And the NSABP questioning whether or not trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting might actually have a benefit in people with, quote, HER2 low or normal cells?
Well, we personally have not done any research to be able to answer that question directly to you. But what I can say to you, Neil, is that because of our paper in 2002 Nature, a number of trials began with a combination of trastuzumab with bevacizumab. And as you know, the randomized phase 3 trial, I think, has finished accrual. And I think people in California are waiting for the results now. But I know anecdotally from talking to my colleagues at Mass General Hospital, when patients receive both that combination of trastuzumab with bevacizumab, they see very dramatic results. And they are aware of my 2002 paper in Nature. And they are very pleased that this is coming. I mean, you can imagine for a scientist to see some of their preclinical work with all its limitations come true in patients is very gratifying.